Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
So an 11-year-old student is in police custody after he's accused of stabbing two staffers. This is at a Northeast Philadelphia middle school, and that stabbing happened about lunchtime yesterday, Castor Gardens Middle School. This is on Cottman Avenue, and police say the student just pulled out this big knife out of his bag while inside a classroom and stabbed these two different staffers. The victims identified only as a 31-year-old woman and a 63-year-old woman. So police say these women suffered cuts to the arm, to the stomach, and they were, they're being treated at the hospital. These are not life-threatening injuries. The question, though, is that how did this 11-year-old get that knife in school? Because they go through metal detectors.
Oh, do they?
They do.
Wow, okay.
So why didn't the knife pick that up? So this morning, I know at this middle school, security is tightened. The two staffers obviously recovering in the hospital. And then questions surrounding the 11-year-old who reportedly had developmental issues, and developmental issues. And so that brings up many questions as well.
Boy, that must, I've got to give credit to a lot of teachers for what they put up with, but I can't imagine what it's like being a teacher in that school. I would imagine SEPTA with bus strikes impact students' attendance, probably a school with no air conditioning. We've talked about that. And now they have metal detectors, but they don't work. Sounds like a great job.
That's the question, Nick. Did they work? Or, as kids always do, do the kids know some loopholes? And so that's the big question.
I'd be interested to talk to somebody in security of how you actually get something like that through. Is it just wrapping it up extensively, 8 layers over top of it? I mean, how does that avoid detection? Very interesting.
Yeah. And other news, and our friend Linda Kearns, we're already texting back and forth. So the recount officially begins in Pennsylvania, and this is obviously the hotly contested U.S. Senate race in which Republican Dave McCormick has been declared the senator-elect, still the recount underway in Pennsylvania. So today it officially must be underway, 8 a.m. in all 67 counties in Pennsylvania. Now, we've reported that it was already underway in many counties, but every county must have it underway, starts at 8 o'clock. So as Greg Stocker would say, we start at 8 a.m. for the recount.
We started at 8 a.m. Can you imagine hearing that guy start shouting that during a recount?
Yeah. So
for your political livelihood.
So, they're pleased. The McCormick campaign has spoken out. They're pleased about many of these rulings. There was another one yesterday. I know our friend Linda Kearns, who's the election integrity attorney with the RNC. She was in court again yesterday. And so at this point now, after that high court ruling, at the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling saying that those illegal ballots should not have been counted in the first place, we dealt with that one. But then there was this other question of the provisionals, those provisional ballots. So that battle is ongoing in multiple counties. I knew that today in Bucks County, we've talked a lot about the fact that they're having their first commissioner's meeting. We played the one commissioner who's made national news for basically admitting that, yeah, she decided to go against the law of the land, and she says she's misunderstood.
Yeah.
Others say she's not, so that's a whole controversy. But the first commissioner's meeting, and there's some planned protests going on.
My comments were taken out of context. Yeah, it's always interesting how they speak down to you, right? Like, no, you didn't understand what I said. No, we have the tape. We've played the tape multiple times on this show. We played it in context, and I can comprehend what you're saying and what you're implying, and I vehemently disagree with you. Bob Casey, by the way, had an unbelievable Twitter thread yesterday. It's right-wing misinformation. Be patient. Be vigilant. Democracy takes time. Interesting. Talking about democracy.
So the recount, you know, we've talked about this in counties like Lancaster, Lebanon counties across the state. Many started on Monday, but the deadline for them to begin the recounts, technically and officially, mm-hmm. is this morning, 8 o'clock, Wednesday, November 20th.
Yeah.
They have to be done with that recount by the 26th. They need to report it by November 27th.
Yeah. By the way, interesting thought. I saw this from Scott Pressler tweeted this. He said that in response to the Bob Casey Jr. Twitter thread yesterday, that Bob Casey Jr. is making Josh Shapiro look bad. Do you think this has any impact on the future of Josh Shapiro as far as what his, you know, bigger aspirations are? Or is this something that'll be water under the bridge by the time, you know, he runs potentially in 2028?
I know that's a talking point, but no.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I know it's a big talking point. People love to say that. But the truth is the thing was triggered. We can debate why it was triggered and we'll know at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
If it was indeed triggered by the fact that they were counting ballots that are essentially illegal,
yeah.
and have been thrown out or will be thrown out. But at the end of the day, I think this is stuff that we pay attention to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. It's in the weeds for sure. Yep. You're right.
So I don't really see that going anywhere.
Okay.
I will say the last time we had a recount in Pennsylvania, remember, it was between McCormick, who's now the Senate-elect, Dave McCormick, and one Dr. Mehmet Oz. That was the last time, because that one was so close. So that triggered a recount as well. That was the last time, more than 2 years ago. And so Dr. Oz obviously tapped, as Nick mentioned off the top, with in the Trump administration, a friend of the Trump family. We remember that Trump and former First Lady Melania love Dr. Oz. So Mehmet Oz is tapped, and he'll be helping to watch over Medicare. And we know that Pennsylvania, we know that billionaire Howard Lutnick, who's a very impressive guy, if you've seen him, Haverford College, biggest donor, so he's known very well locally, but he will head the Commerce Department, that for Trump. And then, as Nick also mentioned, President-elect Donald Trump also selecting his transition co-chair. This is Linda McMahon, and she'll serve as Secretary of the Department of Education, which an agency he said that he would abolish. But more importantly, he has said he wants to return education to the states.
Mm-hmm. Title IX, by the way, will be something that'll be probably right at the top of Linda McMahon's list, I would think.
Yeah, that she'll help rewrite that. Trump has said that would be an executive order. He told us here mm-hmm. at Hale & Company
right.
a while ago that, you know, that would be day one.
Yep.
So, and speaking of Title IX, I know we'll get to it, but a local congresswoman who's identified as the first and highest level trans elected official is somebody who is now in there's a bathroom debate battle in Congress with Nancy Mace.
Can I ask you a question? Is what's his nuts not considered a trans individual? Levine?
Oh, Richard? Rachel?
Yeah.
Probably that nickname. Might be, you don't want to
No,
call.
Seriously, like, I know they're calling her, well, I guess she's the first elected official, right?
Right.
And yes. He's not elected.
And Levine is appointed.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Technicalities. Semantics.
Because if I was Dick, I'd be upset, right?
Yeah. Well,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, hey.
What's this nuts, Dick?
Not for nothing, but.
Stalker just coming in here with all the.
What? No. I mean, this is Richard Levine, that's his name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Richard. Yeah, that's right. Like Richard, you know, Rich Scioli, Richard, Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know that this battle that's brewing a lot of rhetoric back and forth, but it's Republican Representative Nancy Mace, South Carolina, introduced that legislation to change the House rules to prohibit transgender women from using women's bathrooms and other facilities.
Yeah.
Identified for women on Capitol Hill.
I have to say this. You guys know how I feel about this issue. Like, I'm with you both on this issue. But, like, she's really making a, you know, like, something out of nothing, isn't she?
Is she channeling her inner Marjorie Taylor Greene?
I don't know. It's just
because I like Nancy Mace. I like her a lot.
She's on every show. Everybody's interviewing her now. I don't know. I just feel like it's a desperate cry for.
I gained a lot, and I always liked her much more than Marjorie Taylor Greene. But I gained a lot of respect for her the way she battled Who was the guy on ABC that she went
Stephanopoulos.
To? Stephanopoulos. Oh, that was great.
Don't think, I mean, we here at Odyssey have those unisex bathrooms that you need a key card to swipe into.
Oh, we do?
Like, don't they have those? Well, you might not have access to them.
Oh, okay. I've never even seen the door. I only use the one right around the corner.
Well, it's because you come in at 5 and leave at 10.
That's right.
Well, Sarah McBride, who's of Delaware, obviously, Representative Sarah McBride, says this is a blatant attempt from far right-wing extremists to distract from the fact they have no real solutions to what Americans are facing. We should be focused on bringing down the cost of housing, health care, and child care, not manufacturing culture wars.
And by the way, they're there like 2 days a week. Like, does it really, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're living there.
Well, Nancy Mace, she's a surviving rape victim, is she not?
Well, that's what she says.
Yes.
She says that she is a rape survivor.
Right.
She does not feel safe when biological males invade protected female spaces.
Right. Protect me. I don't understand why that's a controversial view to have to say. I don't care if you you can claim to be whatever you are. I'm fine with that. But if you've got male genitalia, go into the men's room.
Or like I said, have unisex bathrooms.
Or have the unisex bathroom, right.
Have a men's room, have a women's room, and have you know, individual
stalls. Same thing with trans sports. Let's have men's sports, women's sports, and trans sports, if it's such a thing.
Do they have unisex bathrooms when you go into combat zones?
With
men and women?
That's a good question. And by the way, I feel for Nancy Mace. I don't like when my wife comes in the bathroom when I'm in the shower. Stay out. Respect my space. Shaving my head, woman.
Shaving your what?
Yeah.
I do hope today we talk about and show on the YouTubes the Elon's big rocket. He has the biggest rocket ever.
Yeah, that's right.
We have a little
biggest.
Bit. Well, we should probably get to the big take.
Yeah, we'll get to the big take.
Yeah. We'll shoot off rockets later.
I have.
And Trump liked watching Elon's biggest, heaviest rocket ever. It's seriously,
Starship,
it's pretty
right?
exciting. Yeah.
Starship.
He's shooting off rockets. I can't even get a bottle rocket off on the 4th of July without blowing off a digit.
You know what was interesting, though? He was complaining, Trump on Truth Social was complaining about Republicans not being present to vote for some Biden judicial nominees. And, like, Ted Cruz and two other senators were standing right next to him. He's like, well, what about these three? You know what I mean? Like,
what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Cruz.
So we are sponsored this morning on this very important Jimmy Matthews running the steps of the...
He's already checked in.
He's checked in?
He's already checked into the YouTube chat. He says he's en route. See you at 8:30. He says he will call into the station in the 7 o'clock hour.
Oh, we could do like a pregame with Jimmy.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so, we want everybody, if you're in that area or you're close to that area or you have nothing to do this morning, just go over to the Art Museum steps at 8:30 and cheer them on.
That's right.
It'll take you 5 minutes.
That's right.
And it's lovely. It's at that point, the sun will be up, partly sunny, partly cloudy, 63 degrees for your high. Like I say, that rain that's expected to be quite heavy and even some thunderstorms, that holds off until after sunset. That's this evening, overnight into maybe tomorrow morning. But definitely today, most of the day for the bulk of it, and certainly for Jimmy Matthews' big run, we're looking at 63 degrees, partly sunny. We are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. And the secret, really, to finishing your holiday shopping with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, and Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online at josephanthony.com, where gift cards are always available. That's josephanthony.com. Thank you for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:20 on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to a big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. The Big Take, mass pushback to mass deportations. You know, if you came to the United States during the Biden-Harris administration illegally, your free ride is about to end. Donald Trump and Tom Homan are not playing games. Democrats, on the other hand, are playing hardball, as Donald Trump has confirmed that he will declare a national emergency and use the U.S. military to carry out mass deportations of undocumented and illegal migrants. That announcement came on Monday morning by CNN's Kate Boldan as she read a post by Donald Trump on social media. You know, it's wild to me that so many Democrats are acting out defiantly over this policy that will only further ensure Americans' safety and security. The everyday American does not care about repopulating your district. The casual voter is not interested in certain industries securing cheap labor. They want a secure border. But why are Democrats so focused on America last? Why do Democrats get more outraged over the term illegal alien than they do over Lincoln Riley's death? They are always more offended by feelings and words and how you label somebody than they are those who are physically hurt as victims of crime, many times preventable. Four notable Democrat governors and two major city Democrat mayors will apparently not comply with Donald Trump's deportation efforts. They include Katie Hobbs, governor of Arizona, the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, and governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey. And then you throw in Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, and Michelle Wu, the mayor of Boston. And speaking of the mayor of Boston, here is Michelle Wu on how she's not willing to cooperate with Trump's immigration policy. Listen and watch.
What will Boston's response be if these mass deportations take place?
Yeah, look, elections have consequences, and the federal government is responsible for a certain set of actions, and cities, no individual city can reverse or override some parts of that. But what we can do is make sure that we are doing our part to protect our residents in every possible way, that we are not cooperating with those efforts that actually threaten the safety of everyone by causing widespread fear and having large-scale economic impact.
Widespread fear? Yeah, you should be afraid. If you enter a place illegally, you should be scared. There are consequences for your actions, and elections have consequences. The consequences are Donald Trump is going to attempt to carry out the largest mass deportation effort in the history of this country. But what about your tax-paying citizens that fund your salary? I guess you don't care about their fears or safety. But that's fine, because Trump can cut off federal funding and make her life more difficult in office. But the defiance doesn't stop there. Here's Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs playing tough. Listen and watch.
As you know, Trump has promised that he would carry out mass deportations on day one of his presidency. Your state is estimated to have a quarter of a million undocumented immigrants. Some Democrats in your state, like Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego, say that she wouldn't allow police to be used to carry out this plan. Would you, as governor, allow state police and National Guard to carry out mass deportations?
We will not be participating in misguided efforts that harm our communities, and I've been incredibly clear about that.
Boy, she's a real gem, is she not? And I wonder what her response will be when the military comes to Phoenix and rounds up illegal immigrants. But the biggest tragedy in all of this, I believe, is the failure to protect children from the fentanyl crisis in this country. That poison has spilled over the border into states like Arizona, then is distributed all over the country, and has killed more Americans than all global terrorists combined. It is the silent and, in many times, accidental killer of today's youth. And these Democrats simply don't care. But let's take Unhinged to the next level. CNN, The Platform, Julie Roginski, the nut job, she's actually saying that she will attempt to physically stop the military herself. Listen and watch.
I promise you with every fiber of my being, because I'll probably be one of those people, that if anybody comes for these people and tries to drag them out by force, there will be protests of people like me, American citizens, who are going to stand there and do everything possible to prevent these women and children, which is all who these people are.
How about the criminals? How about the terrorists? How about the community?
How do you sort through?
How do you know who it is?
How do you sort through?
That's the problem. I don't know who.
Stop. I'm sorry. I live next to these people. I can tell you they are women and they are children. Are there terrorists among them? I don't know. But I can tell you that there are.
And neither does the government.
But I can tell you. But let me tell. Okay. But what I'm telling you right now, practically speaking, is that there will be people, American citizens, who will prevent these little kids from being dragged out of these shelters. There are. And what's going to happen to these people? What is going to happen to the military when the military opens fire on us?
We're way down a rabbit hole here.
There is zero chance that she lives next to people like she just claimed. Guaranteed, gated community, has no idea what she's talking about, doesn't experience it on a day-to-day basis. And she's wrong, because most Americans voted on mass deportations. She obviously hasn't read the polls leading up to the election that showed that she is actually in the minority. She probably has a hate has no home here sign all over her front yard. So where exactly are these illegal and undocumented individuals residing and working? Axios with a detailed breakdown. 14% work in construction, 13% in agriculture, 7% in hospitality, 5% in manufacturing. And also, according to Axios, the operation will be difficult to pull right away without major structural overhauls, a backlog of nearly 4 million immigration cases, and a shortage of immigration judges and detention centers can hinder quick deportation and those efforts by the Trump administration. The mass deportations outlined by Trump could cost $150 billion to $350 billion, according to immigration experts. But this problem didn't just happen overnight, and the problem won't go away overnight. And there's no doubt that Trump, I believe, we can get those border numbers back to where they were in his first term. Why? Because you have a guy like Tom Homan. Unlike Mayorkas and Kamala, he has a true passion for protecting his country. Listen and watch this.
A lot of people have wondered, how is this going to work? So how will it work?
Well, look, I think the president's been clear on the stage. As far as the deportation operation, we will prioritize public safety threats and national security threats because they're the biggest, they pose the biggest danger to the United States. He's got three rails. So we'll do the deportation operation with the priorities I just talked to you. I'll negate. That'd be the priorities. Second thing is secure that border. Lock that border down and catch and release and secure the border. The third rail is we got over 300,000 missing children. That over half a million children have been trafficked into the United States. This administration released them to unvetted sponsors, and they can't find 300,000 of them. And based on my 3.5 decades, some of these children are in forced labor. We already found some in forced labor. Some are in forced sex trafficking. Some of them are pedophiles. We need to save these children. That's going to be the third rail.
Boy, he sounds like such an inhumane person. The guy wants to stop human smuggling, sex traffickers, and pedophiles, yet he's vilified by the left. Because all the Democrats want to do is drum up fear for the select few that are okay with illegal immigrants being here. And then, of course, make Trump out to be the villain. But the election proved that people are not buying it. And they won't buy it as the operation gets underway. The gig is up. America last, no more. America first, safe and secure. And that's the big thing.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. Do you have water on your property that's giving you a headache? Well, if so, soggy yards, damp patio, pool area getting swampy, visit GardenStateEarthworks.com. It is your drainage solution. That's GardenStateEarthworks.com or call 856-848-4444. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into all of the fallout that continues to happen around MSNBC and Morning Joe and so much more, including more additions to the Trump transition team, Dr. Mehmet Oz and Linda McMahon. 6 o'clock hour, Kale and Company, just underway here on a Wednesday morning. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
And now it all makes sense. And I think Dawn actually nailed this. This was about self-preservation, if I recall, yesterday and on Monday's show about Morning Joe. As you know, we talk about it with the election. Trump wins. We're seeing all these media meltdowns from those in left-wing media, Democrats in office, and liberal voters. And then if you think about the timeline, and we have two updates for you. So last Friday, Mika and Joe go to Mar-a-Lago at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they try to bury the hatchet and reopen lines of communication with Donald Trump. Then they do an opening monologue on their Monday television show that nobody watches, and they explain what they did, why they are doing it, and apparently they've been met with a lot of backlash. We talked about that yesterday. A lot of MSNBC staffers speaking to sources, you know, conditions of anonymity and not saying, you know, not putting your name behind your quotes about how they all feel like Mika and Joe, while not surprisingly, are only looking out for themselves. It's an act of cowardice. Well, we've got two updates to that. And there's been rumors that MSNBC was going to be sold. And then last night in the evening hours, the Wall Street Journal with an exclusive that says Comcast greenlights a $7 billion spinoff of NBC Universal Cable Channels, which includes MSNBC, CNBC, USA, Oxygen, E, Sci-Fi, and the Golf Channel. Golf Channel and USA, the only two that I watch within their company. And we also find out that now, whatever audience they had, and we know post-election, MSNBC's ratings collectively have gone in the tank temporarily. They're starting to resemble CNN's. Apparently, after Joe and Mika made that big announcement that they, you know, extended the olive branch to Donald Trump, following that announcement, they lost almost 40% of their audience the next hour. I mean, Kale and Company, I would assume, Stocker, you would know better than me, our audience grows throughout the morning as people get going.
Of course.
Well, they went from hour one to hour two and lost 38% of their most coveted demographic.
If I was the program director or manager or whatever they have there, I would be like, okay, what we're doing is not working. Fire everybody.
No, unbelievable, but I guess, Dawn, you nailed it. Totally believable. You saw this coming a mile away with these two.
Yeah, when I saw that Comcast, and this was just within, it was before the election, it was like 3 weeks before the election, there were rumors about it that friends had told me. I did see that, that then it became, it was being written about, that they were exploring this. And then, like you're saying, last evening, the Wall Street Journal put up that exclusive that they admitted they had been studying this. But the they're expected to announce it this morning that they're moving forward with that plan. They're spinning them off. And usually that means if they're spinning them off, that means that, you know, it's MSNBC. It's also CNBC.
Yep.
Right. Yep. And USA Oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
But for MSNBC, you know, Mika and Joe make a ton of money and probably, you know, I would think they're among the highest paid as far as and the lowest rated compared to how much they're paid.
Right. Which is so always a fascinating conversation because, you know, according to the Wall Street Journal, just for the 12-month period that ended on September 30th, they brought in Mika and Joe, but these channels collectively brought in $7 billion in revenue. Now, I don't know what, I mean, of course, $7 billion sounds great to all of us. I don't know if that's good or bad for those seven channels collectively under NBC Universal. And I get it. Mika and Joe make a ton of money. All those people on MSNBC. There's not a host on that network not making money that would qualify as being in the 1% of society. But there's a difference between revenue that you bring in versus the ratings that you generate, right? So I would imagine that, yes, they are looking out for themselves. But if they continue to bring in, and again, I don't know what type of revenue they specifically bring in. But if they bring in a good amount of revenue relative to their salary, I mean, I would imagine they're going to survive, right? Like they're going to be on the air with whoever purchases them, right? Or at least there's going to be an expensive buyout, I would assume. Because we can laugh at their ratings all we want, but they're still making bank, right? And they're laughing all the way to the bank. If I was making their money, I really wouldn't care what my ratings were, to be completely honest.
Well, so I think the entire media industry as we know it is changing.
Oh, sure.
Agreed.
Of
course. Right? That's all this is. And the three of us need to be very careful about talking about who our parent owners are and what happens. Because as we know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It doesn't necessarily mean that anything is going to change. It just means that they want cable news, this thing off of their books, or they want to. What I saw was a spinoff, right? So they're gonna take all the CNBC.
It's gonna be a separate company.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a separate company,
so
right?
So who runs that company?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And of the $7 billion, you got a lot of channels there.
Yeah,
you know, my guess is that CNBC. I just wonder CNBC, maybe the Golf Channel.
Yeah,
those are the Golf Channel. Those anything with golf because they can charge so much money with sports and especially golf because. Who watches the Golf Channel?
Just
men.
Just Michael Pelka and I.
No, but think about it. Men
My father.
Who have money.
Yeah.
Men who want a $350 blah, 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 whatever putter, and that's the cheap one. So I would like to know what's the breakdown with those, but they're not going to pay Mika and Joe what they're paying them now.
I think the larger takeaway, there's two observations I have, is when you look at just news media, so let's just look at MSNBC and CNBC. Forget USA, Oxygen, E, Sci-Fi, and Golf Channel. It's all entertainment or sports or movies and things like that. So the news media is less and less relevant. And the larger takeaway is that people just do not watch television anymore, right?
You're right.
Like, well, and everybody's got YouTube. Like, we did that. We were paying a fortune.
Yeah.
And then we got YouTube TV, and we cut the Comcast, Verizon, whatever.
Yeah.
We cut the cord.
And it's a clip society, too, right? Like, nobody actually watches Mika and Joe or Joy Reid, but we have 42-second clips that end up on a cut sheet or a 37-second clip that somebody disagrees with that gets posted on social media. I would argue their content that they produce, as bad as it might be, their top consumption of it is in little dribs and drabs, right? Yeah. Joy Reid said X. I mean, you look at the ratings on television, in a nation of 350 million people, nobody's watching that garbage live. Nobody's DVRing it, right? But that whatever app they go to, whatever social media platform they pull up, they see a conservative that clips it, and that's how it's being consumed. I would actually argue, especially when you look at MSNBC, more people consume MSNBC that are conservatives by default with formats like us than those that are fans to tune into them in the first place.
To be fair, I DVR every single cable news primetime show on every network just because of my job.
I do too.
Your box must be ready to explode.
How do you have
any storage?
I think it deletes after a couple. Okay. But I mean, what would happen if you know, somebody said something on one of the things and I didn't have it? Well, I can pull it right up on my phone and you know, we can have it the next day for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've always done that. I've always DVR'd. Now, I don't watch them, you know what I mean? But I have them all there in case I need them.
In case you need to pull something.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get a thought or two in on Trump's latest cabinet picks, including Dr. Oz and Linda McMahon. We'll do that as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. The 2025 models, they are out and in full force today. The Hyundai Tucson, the brand's most popular SUV. I've driven it myself. Bold new design with plenty of cargo space, while the standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage will keep you prepared for any adventure. And the Hyundai Tucson, when you get inside of it, man, the technology, the luxury, it is really a steal. Great bang for your buck, and it's also going to protect you and your family with best-in-class safety ratings. Visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown just off of Route 422, or you can see them in Westchester on Route 202 online anytime, where you can customize your Hyundai Tucson for 2025. Check them out on the web, piazzahyundai.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
You talk about DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. We ought to launch the Department of Media Efficiency. I'd trim all those salaries. Wait a minute, you make eight? No, you're not making $8 million anymore.
I mean, you look at that, you go, dang, what do they have on? Do they have dirt on somebody, or do they have an incredible agent? Like, what? How did they get that gig?
Well, I mean, I know both of you make $30 million a year.
Right.
So, don't rub
it in. Well, that's before tax.
Yeah.
Then that 40% gets shaved right off, and it's, you know, the struggle starts to ensue.
I know.
All right. Oz and Linda McMahon. Let me start with Dr. Oz, because I said during the midterms, I thought he was a terrible candidate. I mean, he got boat raced by Fetterman. Doesn't mean he can't do good at this job. Doesn't mean he's not qualified. Not a huge fan. Kind of a slimy. I'm not an Oz guy. I agree with his messages. I like his political views.
You voted for him.
I voted for him. Absolutely did. Him and Mastriano didn't think either one were great candidates 2 years ago. Linda McMahon, I think, is going to be really, really good. Department of Education background in Connecticut, Small Business Administration.
Smart lady. Between she and her husband, you know, they say they're co-creators.
Yes.
She was the brains of the operation.
Say what you want about the dysfunctional McMahon and family, but I mean, the business entity and the business acumen is off the chart.
I mean, Nick and I are WWE aficionados. She's not the brains behind the operation.
But she's a smart lady.
Behind the business piece
of it. Vince McMahon is the brains behind the operation. I'm not saying she's not a smart businesswoman.
Yeah.
Don't take anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that she...
Vince is the creative genius.
Yes.
But I think she is the... I think that's why they're co-creators, because I think she was good at... I mean, the
balancing out
the books and the actual business side of things that you need to do.
Yeah.
I'm ignoring your...
No, but she was, you know, she is, I think, the level-headed one, the structured one behind the mad genius.
She'll be great with this. She will be great in this role.
I believe that.
Yeah.
But what I don't like about the way the media has covered all of these picks, think about it with Pete Hegseth. Oh, Trump tabs Fox News weekend host. Now MSNBC in their headline on social media last night talked about Oz being selected. He's a TV personality, and he lost a Senate race. He's taking over Medicare, Medicaid. No mention in the headline, though, until you actually click on the story and get to the first or second paragraph, that he's an actual doctor.
He's a surgeon.
He's like a really good, I mean, before he became what he is today, the dude knows what he's doing. Like, he's a smart guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Oprah discovered him.
Yes. But with Hegseth, with Oz, with Linda McMahon, it's discredit, mislabel, unqualified, not fit, which is just wild to me because all of these people have backgrounds in the fields that they're going to be kind of heading up departments of. And they're also great communicators. What I have noticed with all of these Trump picks more than anything, they are all great in front of a camera and great at public speaking, which is the complete antithesis of what the Biden administration has been. Kamala Harris, Karine Jean-Pierre, Joe Biden himself, just absolutely abhorrent communicators, right? They're stuttering, they're stammering, they can't answer, they can't pivot, they can't politic on the fly. They are communication nightmares. I mean, Karine Jean-Pierre can't look down at the binder without finding an answer. So all of these picks, I think in the public limelight, when they go out to speak on their said subjects that they're in charge of, you know, controlling and, you know, implementing policy, they're going to come off so great in front of a camera, in front of a microphone. And I think that's part of what makes Trump so good. He is great in front of a camera and a microphone. Again, I'm not a huge fan of Dr. Oz, but I think he's qualified to do whatever the hell he's been tabbed to do with Medicare and Medicaid.
Let's be clear with one thing, why all these picks are going in, why he's picking all of these people. It's because he wants eyes and ears in every organization.
Yep. He learned from last time.
That's 100%. That's all it is.
He wants
to know if they're, you know, if said organization is coming out to get him or whatever, that, you know, make sure there's no moles, make sure there's no whatever. He wants eyes and ears in every single organization. So he's putting people in there who he thinks are loyal to him in those positions. That's it. It has nothing to do with qualifications. It has nothing to do with, you know, everybody's like, well, he's doing TV. He's taking TV stars and, you know, he's making it a reality show. No, he's taking people that are loyal to him. That's all he's doing.
Yeah, but these are – so think about Dr. Mehmet Oz and somebody who – a renowned and an inventor, by the way, surgeon.
Who was
a top surgeon.
He was for sex change operations, though, for a minor, so I believe, if I have that correct.
Well, I don't have that information. So, yeah. But
of course not.
But I will say this, that he was, I mean, he wasn't known for sex change operations. He was known for heart surgery and was a leading surgeon and highly respected and all of that, you know, did professor at Columbia a little bit, had his company, created the brand. And so all of these people, the platform of, let's say, being the go-to doctor and medical guru with Oprah, all of these people had something going on. Pete Hegseth, what they all have in common is that they went to television after they created a name for themselves and were at the top of their game in a field such as a medical field, or Vivek Ramaswamy, self-made billionaire.
Or the military, like Pete.
Right.
Right.
I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy, a guy from Ohio with no fame, no money, nothing. That's the American dream, right? Yeah. So all these people self-made and at the top of the game in their careers, and they choose a platform, television, for Dr. Oz, Oprah. And so that platform then led them into other things like, let's say, politics. But Dr. Oz, I think when you look at Medicare, Medicaid, and I remember the Delaware County. It was Drexel Brook when Trump was here. And it was a relatively small venue. And I thought it was interesting that they went very specifically into, for example, like the 1-800 number with Medicare that I guess currently they want to get rid of. And it's very popular. Trump really wants to keep that. Trump wants to make things like Medicare, Medicaid, all of that. He wants to streamline it, make it user-friendly, customer-friendly, transparency. And so who does not want that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was Trump's whole thing. Remember when he ran the first time and during his first administration, he said, why is it that everywhere else in society you go and you see a menu of prices, no matter what you buy,
right,
except the medical profession.
I know, right?
Who doesn't want that?
I agree.
Right? Who doesn't want it? Those who make that medical stuff and they get those biggity big government contracts.
And then they stick you with
right?
the bill.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then exactly. You go, what? That was $100,000 when I went to the ER?
Right. 855-839-1210. I actually have an ER story for you coming up later in the 7 o'clock hour. I do.
By the way, Jimmy Matthews just checked in. He said, for anybody going down there, there's free two-hour parking on Wareworks Drive, close to Boathouse Row behind the Rocky Steps.
Nice.
So if anybody's going down there, I'm sure at this hour, I mean, we're not doing it for another 90 minutes, but I'm sure at this hour, there's plenty of parking down there.
It's beautiful down there.
Yeah.
Was Boathouse Row still lit up green? I didn't even notice this
It was
morning.
A couple of days ago. I didn't notice it today.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah.
I like the lights. They're like Etch-a-Sketch lights.
Yeah. It's a good look.
They did a good job with
that. Adds a little charm to the city. Yeah. We could use that.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.